Where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in the abundance of wise and godly counselors, there is victory. The International Minister's Training is a strategy by God to equip His end-time army. Prepare your heart for an awakening.
Left of your heart. Give Him praise.
In my walk with you as a minister, as one called out to serve my own generation and serve you as I serve my generation, I'm asking for help. I'm asking for help. I'm asking for help. Please help me, Lord. Please go ahead and tell God, help me. Help me, Jesus. Oh, shekete de roko profita kai. Jesus, help. In Jesus' name we are praying. 2 Corinthians 4 helped us to understand that one of the operations of mercy is that it keeps us from fainting. From verse 1, 2 Corinthians 4 from verse 1. Seeing therefore we have this ministry, having received mercy, we what? Faint not. Say it, we have received mercy and we faint not. See, Lord, I'm glad we have received mercy and we faint not. Lift your hands and say, Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me in the name of Jesus. Can you go ahead? Lift your voice loud and clear. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy. Mercy, mercy. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Mercy, mercy. Mercy. Oh Lord Jesus, have mercy. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. So our Father, we want to thank you for yet another beautiful time in your presence. Be exalted in Jesus' name. I ask that through this meeting tonight, there will be a wave of healing in the body of Christ. There will be a wave of restoration. There will be a wave of help. Let it be. And anywhere these messages get to, there's anyone who is suffering from what we're about to discuss tonight, let your power rest in the word enough to set them free. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Give the Lord a big, big hand. Thank you, Streams of Life. And yes, you may please be seated. Thank you. Hallelujah. All right, before we sit comfortably, we have the privilege to have Pastor Segun Odemi with us again. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Amazingly, we saw in the spirit to wear similar things. Help me celebrate it. Thank you. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Usually, when we have this kind of setting, and I want to teach like this, I usually like to have heads of ministries around me, you know, seated. Sometimes I prefer that they will sit beside me so that they can be captured in the camera. So, all of them will be without excuse. Alright? But today I want you all to sit where you are. Is that okay now? Pick your pen. Be ready to learn. We are going very, very, very far. Is that okay now? So, I'm to handle the topic. Who can remind me again? Is there anyone trying? Understanding and preventing the errors that leads to scandal in ministry. So I'd like to sit so we all can rub minds and discuss. Is that okay now? Okay. So, first and foremost, before I take you to the issue of discussing about scandals, please pay attention tonight. Is that okay now? Pay what? Keen attention. Let's bow our heads again and just tell God, Father, sit on my life through your word and help me. Help me, help me. Sit on my life through your word and help me. Help me. Help me. Jesus, help me. In Jesus' name we are praying. Turn your Bibles quickly wherever you are. Turn your Bibles quickly. The book of Ezekiel, chapter number 34. Ezekiel 34. We start the reading from verse 1. We have 31 verses. I will read almost all, so you can have rounded understanding. If you are there, say amen. Ezekiel 34. I'm going to read from verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus says the Lord unto the shepherds. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat. Ye clothe you with the wool and kill them that are fed. But ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains, and upon every high hill, my flock was scattered upon the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the words of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord, because my flock became a prey, and my flock became a meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for the flock, but the shepherds fed themselves, and fed not the flock. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherd feel themselves anymore, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. But thus says the Lord, behold, I, even I, will both search for my sheep and seek them out, as the shepherd seeketh out the flock in the day, that he is among the sheep that are scattered. So will I search out, seek out my sheep. I will deliver them. I will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered, in cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out of the people and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers in all that inhabited the place of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in good fold, and in fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, says the Lord. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away. I will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. Now, the next part you will have now is judgment between flock and flock. That's not a matter for today. So I'm going to jump. And I'm going to jump to verse 22. Therefore will I save my flock, and there shall no more be a prey. And I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even David, my servant. He shall feed them and shall be their shepherd. And I will be the Lord their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and I will cause evil beasts to cease out of the land. And they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Let's jump a bit again to verse 29. Now let's start from verse 28. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen anymore. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord, and ye my flock, the flock of my pasture, and I am your God, says the Lord. Alright? If there's anything to pick from this scripture, I want everyone to be attentive. Is the fact that being a shepherd is not a small matter. You cannot lead God's flock the way you want to lead them. Whatever access God gives you from a ministry platform that is on WhatsApp to the one that involves gathering people to commitment as departmental heads to commitment as executives or ministers or pastors, president of fellowships, general overseers, traveling evangelists, apostles, and all those things. Whatever it is that gives you oversight over souls, you give account. And the work has to do with all reverence. I'm going to say some very, very strong things. It has to do with all reverence and the fear of God. From the way you lead the people to every tiny thing. So much so that God even said, I'm going to deal with the shepherd. He said, you are eating the fat and you clothe yourself with the wool. But the sick have you not strengthened? The lost have you not sought for? So it is very, very good. It is better that you never ever have the opportunity to lead than to lead God's people astray. It is better for your own soul that you don't even assume you have a calling. It is better your punishment before God is the punishment of the fact that you didn't do your assignment on earth or obey the call, than to be the punishment of the fact that you allow the smallest among God's children to go astray. Scripture said, it is better that they tile a milestone in the neck of such a person, and the person is cast into the river, than to make the smallest mistake of leading God's flock astray. It is a sacred matter. It is not to be assumed. Nobody should take the honor of ministry on himself. You have to be called. Let me show you a scripture. Isaiah chapter number 52, verse 11. I want us to look at it. Isaiah chapter number 52, verse 11. If you are there, say amen. Now look at it. It said, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean things, go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Look at easy to read version. It says, so leave Babylon. Leave that place priests, you that carry the things that belongs to the Lord, so make yourself pure. Don't touch anything that is not pure. Easy English Bible says, leave, leave, go out from there. Do not touch anything that is unclean. Leave that foreign place. The people who carry the Lord's special things must keep themselves pure. God's Word translation says, run away. Run away. Get away from there. Do not touch anything unclean. Get away from it. Make yourselves pure, you Levites who carry the utensils for the Lord's temple. And I'm just going to read Message translation. Out of here. Out of here. Leave this place. Don't look back. Don't contaminate yourselves with plunder. Just leave, but live clean. Purify yourselves in the process of worship, carrying the holy vessels of God. Is that okay now? Now, hear me. If you look at the account of Luke 10:1, there is a need that was mentioned there in Luke 10:1, and that's searching the harvest, that the harvest is indeed plenty. Is that Luke 10? Now go to verse 2. Yes. He said unto them, yes, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. As much as the kingdom needs more people in the service, an unclean minister is not an asset in the hands of God. Write it in capital letter. An unclean minister is not what? An asset. I have many things to share with you, and I'm going to share all of them. I'm going to talk to you to the level of what to do if you are the wife of somebody who is a sexual offender. So you pay attention. I think I need to show you a couple of scriptures before I begin to teach. I want us to look at 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 22. We're going to read all the scripture. I'm not just going to call them, but we'll read them so they can sit with you. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. If you are there, say amen. Alright, sounds popular. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So I'm going to read God's word and the Message. Stay away from lust, which tempts young people. Pursue that which has God's approval. Pursue faith, love, and peace, together with those who worship the Lord with a pure heart. Message translation. Run away from infantile indulgence. Run after mature righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Joining those who are in honest and serious prayer before God. We'll look at another scripture. Titus chapter number 2, verse 6 and 7, then 11 to 15. Titus 2, 6 and 7, then 11 to 15. Titus 2:6. Young men likewise exhort to be sober minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. And he that is of contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Now 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, purify unto him, unto himself, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. We read verse 6. Then we go to verse 16. Romans 6 verse 6. Knowing this. Romans 6 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Let's go to verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey the laws. Obey it in the laws thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, a servant ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Galatians chapter number 5 from verse 1. Galatians 5:1. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled with the yoke of bondage. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3 from verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 3 from verse 1. This is a true saying. If any man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. The word bishop there is the word overseer. Husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy or filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest, being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into the reproach and snare of the devil. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy or filthy lucre, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. And let these things first be proved. Let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Alright, I'm going to read just a few couple of more scriptures. Then I teach with scriptures. Is that okay now? So let me just read James 1, 2 verses from there, then I teach. So turn your Bibles to James chapter number 1. We read verse 13 and 14. James 1, 13 and 14. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempt he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when it is finished, it brings forth death. Verse 16, just a very simple word, powerful. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Now, one thing I want to understand very clear. Mistakes are not necessary. Mistakes are not necessary. They are avoidable. Mistakes are not necessary. They are avoidable. And by mistakes here, I'm talking categorically about sexually related mistakes. Sexual sins. And that's going to be the focus of my discussion. There can be scandal in ministry in different things. For instance, in finance. A ministry's finance can be audited and they find out that the minister has been running ministry pockets like his own personal account, such that there is no account for what comes in and what goes out. I think during my spiritual father session, Pastor Bimban Marshall, he made reference to some things and talk about those who use their personal account for ministry. But one thing is very certain. Quote this anywhere. A man who is unfaithful with money will be unfaithful with women. A man who is not faithful with money, it's just a matter of time, will be unfaithful with women. If you can steal, you will soon fornicate. Sexual sins or sexual mistakes are not necessary. Those who fail to learn from others will learn from their own mistakes. So you either learn from people or you become a lesson. Is that okay now? So a scandal is an incident or event that damages the reputation of a person or an organization. A scandal is an incident or event that damages the reputation of the person involved or the organization. So there are two things there. Now look up. When it comes to repetition, people protect two things, but only one is worth protecting. The first is your image, and that's public opinion about you. The second is your integrity, who you really are. The word integrity is gotten from the mathematical word integer. I don't ever use that word when doing math. If one is a negative integer, a positive integer, most of you don't like that. Sounds like a nightmare already. But the word integer simply means a constant. Something that doesn't vary. So what does it mean to have integrity? To be at the state of an integer. State of being a constant. In and out of public view. Constant. Is that okay now? Now, I don't know if you have related with people who lies. I don't know if you have worked with people who are chronic liars. You notice that one of the ways to know people who are addicted liars is that they always try to remember what they've said before. True or not true? If you have integrity, your image is sealed. But if your integrity is vandalized, all that will be left to defend is public opinion. Is that okay now? Very important. Alright, so scandals usually happen when people of reputation violate moral ethical codes. For instance, it is ethical for a man to have his wife. Right? Even Paul said that it is better to marry than to burn. Right? Talk to me now. But the moment you see, okay, if you see somebody who is an unbeliever, has not accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior, doesn't know nothing about the life of Christ and all those things. If you see the fellow sleeping with girls and doing all those things, is that a problem? No. Why? It is the nature of a dog to bark. It is the nature of a goat to bleat. It is the nature of a lion to roar. Since they are not yet partaker of the divine nature, they have the sinful nature. It is the nature of the sinful nature to what? Sin. Right? Now talk to me. It becomes really critical when people who claim to have accepted the life of Christ, and to take it a step further, those who claim to now be responsible for the spiritual well-being of other believers to be found violating those ethical codes. When that happens, that's a scandal. The Bible says that the wise shall inherit glory, but shame will be the promotion of fools. Whenever there is scandal, there is reproach. There is shame. If you ever see where people that have once been held in high esteem fall into scandals. Have you ever seen pastors that people were respecting? All of a sudden they found out that the pastor has impregnated several girls in church. Even boys who are ushers, who on a normal day would have said papa, can land the pastor dirty slap. And say, sit down on the floor there. And sometimes even remove the shirt. And say, what kind of a pastor are you? And the same man that everybody will stand up when he's entering and celebrate him will now fall the Lucifer fall. And they say, how art thou fallen, thou bright and morning star? I shared with you the story of Bathsheba. That fine girl that just got married. You know her? That girl that was living close to David's quarters. King's Avenue. Number 2. David was in number 1. So he stood from number 1. You know, it is very easy to see those in number 2. Talk to me now. And he saw something that when you see that kind, you should leave and speak in tongues to detoxify your mind. But David decided to have a very pleasant view. And he said, go and call her. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. The one that God said, I found David my servant with my holy oil. Have I anointed him? He said, the enemy will not even inflict him. I'll beat down his foes before him. But Bathsheba, God won't beat her down before him. You flee from this kind. And when she came, she looked at him. Ah! King David is calling me. Who am I? You know, Bathsheba was the grandchild of David's best friend, Ahithophel. I read that book of 2 Samuel and 1 Samuel. I read it more than 16 times. Just to have background. Ahithophel was David's, he was the best advisor in Israel. You know when they told Absalom, when they told David that Ahithophel has now joined, David never panicked until he heard that Ahithophel has now joined him. So, Ahithophel was, of course, older than David. You know, sometimes you have older friends. But the friend of your father is your father. The friend of your grandpa is not your uncle. It's grandpa. Now, not to talk of the king. So when Bathsheba heard and saw God, he didn't know what was happening. I will tell you what was happening. She was tied to well to her chest and was sitting before the mirror. She was about applying the cream when the guards came. What happened? The king has called you. Me? Let me quickly dress up. He picked everything. Did the hair. New bride. Somebody just paid a bride price less than 3 months ago. Before the battle started. So, me, King David. It's a very huge honor. So she dressed and went there and knelt down. Oh, king, your handmaiden is pleased to be before you. I dare not lift up my head to see you. I'm so honored, sir. Only for the king to say, God, you can go. Say, my lord, I'm so honored. Your lord has fallen. Before we knew what was happening, David had called one of his boys. You know that guy? I'm still going to talk about him. Joab. The ones that if you want to partner with sin, the loyalty will even cover. They will partner with you in sin. Say, nobody should see me. Tell them I'm busy. Kabezi, you are busy. The only time you tell us this is when you are with your violin. But now you are not carrying the violin. What we have here is a woman. Okay. They were expecting King to come out. 4 p.m. He's busy. No sweet melodies is coming out from the inner chambers.
the cloud of glory that used to descend. When he's doing that, no cloud. You see, we believe that he must be. Would they have called her as a backup singer? Maybe. Ah, 8 o'clock. But we are not hearing sound of violin. 1 a.m. Then they saw somebody. Kuje. Put some things over her head and sneaked out. The king never discussed it with anybody. Nobody discussed the matter with them again. Ah. Do you think the king would have had the confidence to kill the husband, if not that the girl to enjoy the pleasures of the palace? Enjoyed it. And David must have said, we need to have this kind of time again. Say, you know those kind of smiles that is not saying no and not saying yes. Nobody saw her again. One week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 month. Maybe about a month and a half. Because if you remember the story, she said your handmaiden has just paid her vows. You know what that means? She has just done her purification period. Just finished her menstrual flow. So she must have waited for the next cycle. This thing didn't come. The normal abdominal pain didn't come. Waited a while again, depending on the numbers. This thing didn't come. This time around, she knew something had happened. And she walked to the palace. No invitation. Nothing. David must have been seated in his majesty, speaking with the mighty men. Those who had been with him from the days of the cave. Those who look up to him. Those who call him our captain. He sat down with them. And suddenly, somebody broke the protocol. But this time around, not Esther, a girl, not married to the king, opened the door and said, David! I need to talk to you. They removed the spear, we'll fall on her now. But sin said no. About 2 months ago, the same girl was here, face flat. Feel so honored to be here. What a privilege. But this time around, David, I need to talk to you. Say, hey, don't touch her. And they must have been murmuring amongst the ranks. Who is this idiot? Let's kill her at once. I say, get away. Everybody leave us. Now began to open up. Pregnant. Pray what? Pregnant. Punke! What would he have shouted? Prayer. Ah. How should it be? How should we hear it? That when they return back from battle, it will be observed that a woman who had just married to her husband, who should be with her for a full year, but left for warfront out of zeal and passion for God. The wife is now pregnant. You know, according to the custom, such a woman should be stoned to death. But now, this is the icing on the cake. The one responsible for it is King David. The king himself. The head of the whole army of the land. David must have thought of options. What should we do? Probably, he must have thought of killing her. Because when men want to cover their sins, they are desperate. He must have thought that the people that can do that kind of clean job have gone to battle. If I say I should do it like this, the secret will be out. You know that he didn't stop sleeping with her until Nathan came. Because after saying I'm pregnant, a measure of regret, but no accountability, they had to continue. What should we do? While we are thinking of what to do, stay in the palace. Don't worry. You know what would have happened? All the daily meetings where David would have been playing his harps and people would have been worshipping would have to stop. The sweet psalmist of Israel is no longer sweet. Think about it now. All the days of sitting on the harp. Have you seen where they play harps before? The beautiful melodies that proceed from it. Because David invented many musical instruments. He was a king and also a musician. The best. In fact, he has been the best before he became a king. You know when Saul was afflicted and they went to look for somebody who can, who knows how to play well. It was only the son of Jesse that was qualified for it. David must have remembered that, my brothers at home said it then, that they knew I was not going to go far. They said it then, that I'm a stubborn boy. They said it then. Now all these things have finally caught up with me. Try to desperately cover the mess. Maybe one day. Maybe. Bathsheba must have looked at him. You know, David was a very handsome man. Very, very handsome black man. I can show you from scripture. It was not a yellow, was it? Brownish looking fantastic guy. Let me break it down. You know, when he saw Bathsheba on that mountain top, the Bible says she was fair to look upon. You remember what Solomon said in Songs of Solomon? He said, sons of, daughters of Jerusalem, Don't look at me because I'm dark. Because the sun has risen upon me. Do your mathematics. Dark. Tall looking. Fantastic. Handsome. Young man. Oh, great. Okay. This is another part. Put on such scriptures. And maybe Bathsheba must have looked at him and said to him, it's you I liked. Because you were married. That's why I went to marry that guy. I waited. I was part of those who wished. He said, who knows? Maybe something can still be done. David must have said, yes. You mean it? So, it's me you really liked. Not that guy. It's not too late. You can still have me. See, I can't marry two husbands. Say it doesn't have to be two. Let's make it one. How? Let's kill him. Ha! Must have done some mock morning for some days. And started living with it. David called him. Okay. Before they even killed him. You know they had other attempts too. They said, let's call him. When soldiers go to war, they always return with trauma. They've seen many people dead. You will need to ease his stress. I'm still his new wife. I will wear my best nightgown. And I know his best food. He likes meat. After every battle, if you give him meat, he's happy. They say, give him meat. David said, meat. We will kill 100 rams. And we'll pick parts from 100 different rams. For him to eat as he wants. So, let us go to Uriah. I say, the king has summoned for you. Amen. King David. Let's go. Got to the house. Saw a big banquet. David sat down. He said, eat. I just want us to gist. And he got him wine. He made sure it was the same color. But the alcohol content in his own higher. So he can get drunk on time. So he was taking his own. And he was watching Uriah. And at some point when he saw his heads were dropping, he said, why don't you go home? He said, apologies, my king. Sorry. And I said, go home and meet your wife. Relax from the wahala, the battlefront. King, before I go, can I take just one minute? It's all yours. So, he went. And David climbed up to go and see where he saw her. He could see their window and see if something was already going on. But as he looked, he saw Bathsheba alone seated. Where is this guy? Then he came downstairs and saw him drunk but determined. I won't go into my wife. That's legitimate passion. He denied it. If he goes into his wife, it's not a sin. It's his wife. Said, I can't. David called him again. Had another attempt again. The young man said, I cannot. You know, by this time, they were getting to the season where the pregnancy will be revealed. He said, we have to do something. Finally, they killed him. But David didn't still stop sleeping with her until Nathan came. One of the things I want to pick up from this story is that nobody stops sexual sin alone. Nobody. Nobody. It doesn't matter how anointed you are. Nobody stops sexual sins alone. Yeah. The first time, a mistake. The man of God himself was new to it. But without Nathan, a strong force of accountability, you know, it will have become a culture. David, with a legacy of snatching people's wives and sleeping with them and killing the husbands. If he could do that in the first time, he has the capacity to do more and even wipe out an entire family. You know, he's been doing some that God kept quiet. That girl, that fine girl, Abigail. You know, he took her from Nabal. God didn't talk. So he had track record. And it grew till he moved to somebody's wife. Maybe the next one would have been somebody's grandmother. Or somebody's child. Because sin grows. It's like a seed. It doesn't stop. It doesn't end. Unless there's a brutal force to stop it. It grows. Are you following what I'm saying here? Let me say this to you. If you are listening to me now, I'm still going to get there. And you already have a track record. Of sexual sin. That went unreported. Unchastised. No discipline. Then restoration. Mark my words. You will do it again. You say, is that not the reason why we are listening to a message like this? This message cannot do what accountability and discipline alone can do. You will do it again. So, before I talk about the issue of accountability and discipline, let me break that into two, because that one also is in two parts. If you were caught and not that you reported, the chances of doing it again is very high. Because if people are disciplined out of being caught, there is no repentance. If there's any tears, if there's any regret, it is always about the method, not about the act. Always about the people involved, not about the very, very act. That's why I pay attention to things in the body of Christ. There have been few occasions, this ray of hope, in the body of Christ where people were reported and they got better. I never did it again. I'm going to share one. Of course. I'll share it in code. Here we go. A very prominent man. The secretary went to report him to a father in the land and said, I and your spiritual son have been sleeping with each other. Now I'm tired and I need to cry out. The spiritual father, the man of God, called him. I said, hello, how are you doing? I'm fine. How is your wife? She's perfectly fine. How is ministry? Oh, God be praised. We had some conventions and it went so well. The number of people that gave their life to Christ, 1,000, so number. So we had 17 people got up from wheelchair. 18 people got up from this. Over 200 blind eyes were healed. Ah, how are you? Say, Daddy, I'm fine. Are you sure? I'm very fine. How is your spiritual life? Ah, to God be the glory. I just finished the retreat and everything is going well. Ah, thank God. I have a guest and I don't mind if you would like to meet her. And he opened a door. And the secretary came out. And as he saw her, he knew what had happened. Went flat on his face and began to cry for mercy. Let me tell you a part of that story for those of you who probably hear things. Let me tell you a part of that story you don't know. And I'm going to talk to you, ladies. Firm warnings. I'm going to show you 20 ways to know if your pastor is a sexual predator. I'll show you. Till date, that secretary is not doing well. Because when you become the stumbling block for mighty men, when you become the land in which God's inhabitants die, there is a very high chance the land will be barren. It is very serious. I'm going to... don't worry. That man, the father in the Lord, stood him before the congregation and made the announcement of a new general overseer and sacked him and sent him down to his place for discipline and spiritual regimentation that went on for a long time. Disciplined him. People left. And that's one of the reasons why many people don't ever get better. You remember the case that happened with our brother, Brother Saul? Your brother. Not my own brother. In 1 Samuel 15. When he had done the wrong thing, and Samuel was rebuking him, he said to Samuel, sanctify me before the people. It doesn't matter how much I look before God. Preserve my image before the people. Are you following what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what God thinks of me. Don't rubbish me before these guys. If you see people who fall into sexual sins and are also concerned about what people think, instead of getting better, they will rather have an empire. It's going to become a cartel. I'm going to get there. So this man of God was removed from his church. Lost sons. Lost daughters. The attendance of the church dropped drastically by more than 80%. People started saying, we didn't know this is the kind of person that he is. An eagle. And became a chicken. But thank God for the gift of a very powerful and spiritually discerning spiritual father who was strong enough to say, be here. Sit down. You know, you can preach your way to hell. You can preach yourself to the grave. You are administering what you lack to others. And there are tendencies you will even tell them that, you know, a man can't give what he doesn't have. That for me to be dispensing like this is a sign of what is loaded there. That's the Samson syndrome. Long after you have cut yourself from the source, there can still be water in the reservoir. But on ton law, it's gradually decreasing. It's just a matter of time. But that man recovered. As the eagle who had become a chicken, stayed in regimentation. No longer called General Vasia. All who sees him narrowly look down on him. As he went through that phase of agony and pain, we didn't know that the feathers were growing back again. As he came out of that situation, he came out as a golden eagle. The prophetic, sharp. Everything powerful. But the Yorubas will always say, Ojo apa o le dabi ojo ara. That is, the point of scars cannot look like your normal skin. However, if these scars are yielded to God, virtue will flow out of them. At least I know of that story of somebody that was reported, but yet recovered. But if you check one thing he did, he submitted himself to the discipline. You cannot determine your way out of sexual sins if you have already fallen into it. You need to be helped. I say, I fall! So much. I don't want to ever go through this again in my life. I will never do this again. Just like a woman that is in labor, giving birth. Push it. Ah, it's painful. In no time, that same woman is back to the husband again and pregnant again. The pain, it's just a matter of time. The memory of them are actually volatile. Until there is a deliberate attempt to help the fellow, is coming back to the same pit. Regardless of the level of the pain, it will happen again. Put me anywhere. If you are seated here now, you have a scandal. Something happened. You didn't submit yourself to discipline. You ran away and now you came here. And we are seeing you as an active worker. You will soon desecrate this place. It's just a matter of time. You are not powerful enough to overcome the law you are fighting against. Laws are only defeated by greater laws. The greater law here is to go back and submit yourself for discipline. And when you fall into that, it's not the time to say, I've heard God. It's time for me to leave this place. You will climb up, but the same way you have climbed, you will fall one day. The height it took you 40 years to climb. Let me warn you again. Never, ever, ever escape disciplines that comes when you find yourself in this. You'll be back.
I think Proverbs 24 verse 6 spoke something about a multitude of counselors. Another translation says that multitude of counselors, there is safety. So I'm going to show you seven errors . So I'm teaching you this so you can be watching your life. I also can be watching my life. Because one way to fall is to believe you can't fall. The moment you can sit down and say, I don't even have flair for women. You are down. So if you see any of these things in your life, start crying for help. And this cry for help, listen to me. Hope you know that accountability and submitting yourself for help and discipline will do what 40 days of retreat will not achieve. Behind the veil of those 40 days alone is the consciousness of the devil that you enjoy hiding this. He knows. You will fast yourself and become lean, but the devil will wait for you at the edge of the mountain. When you come down, he knows you have not exposed him. He knows that the reason why you didn't do it is pride. And he knows that pride is like a leech. It will drag the person back to the vomit. Because after all, nobody knows. Do you get what I'm saying? Alright, I wrote here, wisdom is always profitable to direct. And anywhere wisdom is in place, the result of that arrangement is glory. You know, the way people see you and celebrate you, pastors, pastoring branches, you come in, let's celebrate our pastor. We bless you. Thank you for being a blessing. You walk into church, everybody are standing and clapping. Very nice. Don't abuse it. Everything can turn around in one day. Don't abuse it. Shame is the promotion of fools. You know what shame is? It is one of the most unpleasant feelings. It is always accompanied with regret. And I know. When you were young and your parents were trying to help you from bedwetting, push you from bed to mat, or lay nylon on your bed, as the case may be, and say so you don't spoil the mattress. And you went for Christmas holiday with your cousins, where there are about 5 people on that big, is it queen or king size bed, and you are the one in the middle. Five thirty AM. You woke up and found out. So this is where this cold was coming from. Ah. You wanted to get up and change the whatever it is, and saw two of them sitting facing the bed studying. You are in the center. As the ones by the right and the left are trying to roll towards the center where there's been River Jordan,
You are guiding them. Don't come. They know seven, before seven you are up. But this day, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, I feel like laying down here. Why? There's reproach. When it happens, people feel like hiding. That's even better compared to when a man sleeps with his daughter. People are now asking, were you not the one who gave birth to this child? How did you get here? I read a story about 2 days ago of a man that defiled his neighbor's 6-month-old baby. And you know, when there's shame, people that cannot even look into your eyes in the first place will now look at you and say you are an idiot. And now I will pass and say, I feel like slapping the head of somebody everybody was calling daddy. Nothing brings a man down immediately like shame. And the Bible says it is the promotion of fools. That is, if a man had been foolish for years, hiding it, and is preparing for promotion, the next level he will find himself is shame. Errors that leads to scandals. If you are already given to this error, what it means is that it will surely give birth. Alright? Number one, spiritual decadence. Leviticus 6, spiritual decadence. Spiritual decadence. Leviticus 6, give me from verse 11. No, let's start from verse 10 so they can have clear understanding. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen breeches, and shall put upon his flesh and take up the ashes from the fire. You know what this is? He was breaking down an ordinance here. Well, many things, alright, are catching my attention from this passage. Number one, if you want the fire to keep burning, hey, learn to pack away the ashes. For instance, after IMT, loads of people everywhere. Oh, what a man that man was, or that man is. Such an amazing man. He has blessed us. Oh, and you are seeing it everywhere. Arches are covering the fire on time. I know of a day that arches also cover fast. Your birthdays. There's hardly criticism. Everybody is celebrating Papa. What a man he is. The man that taught the mouth of lions. The man that God used for me. The man that this. In one day, your birthday, the kind of arches that cover your fire sometimes might take about 6 months for that kind. After it, start fixing major fastings and prayers and plenty of worship. Yielding it all to God. Because most mighty men fall immediately after celebration. Having done all, stand. Now look at verse 11. And he shall put off his garment, the regalia, the bishopric garment, and put on other garments, and carry forth the hatches without the camp into a dry place. 12. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And what will happen for the fire to burn? The priest shall burn wood on it every morning. First thing that flies out when there's spiritual decadence, no more quiet time. It is no longer necessary. You've seen out that the anointing is still the anointing without it. Long prayers. Why is that? We're under grace. Now, let me say this. Having a prayer life is different from leading prayers. Are you aware? Do you know you can lead prayers for 12 hours and yet you don't have prayer life? And having a prayer life is not the same as preaching about prayer. You can be very passionate about preaching and teaching about prayer, and yet you are not a man of prayer. There are different things. Burn wood. If you don't want to burn out, burn wood. Burn wood. Put upon the altar the things that support combustion. Don't put A's or stubbles. They will burn in a while. In a moment, and you will also go down. For instance, study of the word is a type of wood. Prayer alone, or sometimes in company of two, three, but you know it's a personal communication to help stretch, is a type of wood. But believe me honestly, listening to messages is a type of A and stubble. Because when you listen to a man, he can bring you into his own experience in an hour. But you'll also go back until there's a supporting structure of prayer. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what happens. So one of the things that scares me now is that we have many people who have replaced study of the word with listening to messages. They don't study. We have pastors who don't have study life. They don't have discipline to stay with it. You know, it takes discipline to start. Then it becomes a lifestyle. It doesn't matter what you think. If you don't have prayer and study life, you won't last. Don't fight for lasting if you won't fight for prayer and study life. You can't separate them from each other. You can be a fantastic teacher and yet the word of God is no longer teaching you. Okay. You know, I recently started wondering the reason why there's so much depth in the things that God is revealing to our generation. But believe me honestly, little transformation. Because many have not become their message. There is a power that back up the word if it is consistent with the lifestyle. It is the power of hear ye him. Go back to my teaching. Why men don't rise. I drew something like a battery. And I showed you that each level you fall to is your new possibility. As you fall a bit, you have the possibility of forgetfulness. That's the first thing that happens. I told you then. Let me break it down. One, you begin to forget of the goodness of God. You forget His promises. Two things will happen when that happens. Anxiety. You become anxious. Suddenly, the way you are caring about tomorrow is like you are the one who is weaving it. Little things start getting at you. Of course, you know when anxiety sets in, depression enters. That's just at level one though. That's level one. Forgetfulness. Alright? Forget his goodness. Forget this. Then you forget daily Christianity. Daily practice. It starts from untraceable things. The culture of appreciation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, sir, for the help you rendered. Just forget important things, but from the smallest one, forgetting to pray when eating. It doesn't really matter. Just you are starting. Forgetting to thank God for provision. You know one thing I know about spiritual alertness? If your battery is full, the Holy Spirit will remind you of all things. It will. It will occur to you that those things matter to God. It will bring all things to your remembrance. All things. Just the moment you could have been down, it will remind you of God's faithfulness. Have you forgotten that when things was like this that time, God showed up? He will. Alright? As the battery begins to go down, many more things will be possible. You go to level 2, then you have compromise. Double standard. Unstable. At level 2, the devil begins to orchestrate events that will take you away from an environment where fire is burning. And you will have two personalities in those places. Compromise. Things that are your core values, you begin to compromise them. You used to believe that there's no kissing in a relationship. Now you just tell him, well, I'm not really sure. Because it's not written anywhere in the Bible. That's level 2. You're a young man, you believe. That if you are given an assignment, even to the last 5 naira, give account. You say, well, they should know I use this one for pure water. I have vowed to God, I will never tell a lie. This one is not lie, it's whining. You lie about school fees. But you are still a pastor on campus. You lie about textbooks. You know the common one? House rent. 70,000, no, it's 120. Say 50K for contingency plan. You go on and on and on. And I should tell you that each possibility you fall to is a revival. The things you have left before will be resurrected when you come back to their level. So it matters, listen. The things you have left before, they were at a level. They didn't leave you. You are the one who left them. If you come to the level where they are, they'll be activated again. So regardless of what I'm saying at level 1 and level 2, are the things that are lined up that God had rescued you from. And don't forget that scripture we read, Galatians 5:1. That what? You should stand fast in the liberty wherewith God has made you free. And don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That's the scripture. So somebody who has broken free from pornography, you get to the level, smallest thing you see on television will activate it back. And it goes on and on and on. So what happens when there's spiritual decadence? All the former things have been revived. Hope you know that in the midst of this, don't forget what I told you. That listening to messages are like A's and stubble. The man can be using that to power himself. Before coming to preach, he will play one or two messages and begin to speak like them. We'll mourn for 2 hours. As he's dropping the mic, he's back to the level he used to be. You are not at the level of your sermon. You are at the level of your prayer life. You are at the level of your consecration. Sometimes your messages can be deeper than you. Spiritual decadence. You can go on and on and on. Prayer thrown out of the window. Fasting. We are gods. All of you are sons of the Most High. Why should we fast?
Okay. I forget Jesus fasted.
And he said, when the bridegroom is around, why do you eat when you are in the wedding party? He said, as long as I'm with them here, your disciples are not fasting. He said, the bridegroom is here. There's a wedding party going on. Have you seen somebody who is at the wedding party and fasting? It's a wedding party going on. He said, but when the wedding party is over, they will fast.
Number 2. Errors that leads to. So once there's spiritual decadence, possibilities are dangerous to be revived in your life. You have the tendency of falling into lust. Don't believe you cannot lust. Hey, girls, boys, you can lust. I think there was a time I ministered somewhere and I called an altar call.
Yes, I remember this ministration. Ministered in the church. And God told me to call an altar call that all of you who have been lusting after people climbing the altar, get up and rededicate your life to Christ. Pastor, more than 70% of the church. You know, somebody can be ministering at the altar and somebody is just looking at this. Ah, she has this girl. And the person is still saying amen. Hope you know there's a point in this whole equation that you have learned to do it without God. But hear me. Hope you know that 18 years before Saul finally died was when the Spirit of God departed from him. 18 years. 1 Samuel 16, David was 12. Between after the anointing came, he had 5 years of wilderness experience. That's when he killed his lion and his bear. After that 5 years, he had, what's it called now? A privilege to be exposed to Goliath. That's at age 17. After that, he ran for some years. But Saul was doing it without God. What was the end product of that? He became a sorcerer. Don't seek for power you don't have concentration to maintain. Once it starts, and people already know you for that power, you're already addicted to people knowing you. You will use sorcery to wrap it up. I'm going to answer a major question in somebody's heart. That is it possible for a person to be a sorcerer and the person will leave the earth without people knowing? Yes. See how? It's very simple. All scripture says is, there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed. It can even be hidden at the point of the man's death, but it shall be revealed. You can't fake it forever. Spiritual decadence is a very long journey. Beware. I have many things to teach, so let me rush. Errors that lead to sexual scandals or sexual misconduct. Hope you know a scandal is not just a scandal for people know. Once the act is scandalous, there's a scandal. Okay. Wrong association. The company of fools. will be destroyed. Wrong association. Let me speak about this. I'm going to break it down in different ways. You need to write fast if you're going to write. Sometimes, people have found a way to keep associations that lack accountability. Now, Pastor Shegun is here. If I find out something about his life that is questionable, I will ask him. I am 100% ready to lose the friendship as long as it's preserved. If my wife finds something questionable about my life, or his wife. You know, I called my wife and I told her, make a list of people that if my lifestyle becomes mysterious to you, you can call and report me to. She mentioned his name. She mentioned my spiritual father. She mentioned two other friends. I said, this person, this person. And I said to her, any day, anytime, you are free. Ah, I need to get up to talk to men. Listen to me. Hear me. Hear me. You can manage your wife in such a way that even when you are dying, she will still honor you and it will destroy you. The very serious matter. From the day you have married her, you can kill her with manipulation. Your wife. And give her over bloated impression of yourself. I will always be fine. Talk down all that should be voice of authority and power over you in her presence. One of the ways I know a man may not be fine is if the wife does not rever those that he reveres. I think I was teaching you these principles. Was it you I was teaching? Please sit down. When you have a wife and there are two ways to do it. One is by bossing her up and you boss strength. Liberty. Correction. You know, women don't allow their husbands fall below their level. But I'm telling you, there's a way to do it. And one of them is intimidation. When she says one, you snap her out of it and apologize almost immediately. And she knows she will cope till she no longer believe that you are even doing something wrong. Because when lies goes for so long, lies becomes truth and truth becomes lies. And you can also manipulate her. Divide and rule system. Speak bad about everyone she should have been accountable to. And leave her alone hanging. Girls, if you are in a relationship and you have no relationship with those that your spouse relates with, you want to do me and my husband, in the days of your sorrow, you will cry on two legs and look for them. One of my friends was marrying a girl who was separating everybody from him. One day I called him and I said, look at me. The last time I stepped in your house is the last time I will ever step in it. But when the time comes, both of you will cry out. And he looked at me with tears. And he said, Pastor Femi, you are also leaving me. You know, the girl, when the heat began, started calling me. I don't understand my husband anymore. Don't break up the voice of correction in the life of your spouse in the name of I love you. You will cry about it. That person alone is too dangerous for you. I say, maybe everybody is just against him. Everybody is just against him. They don't like him. Ah. Don't intimidate your wife. When you do, you are destroying your lifeline. The day you will need it, you will not have an helper beside you. You have just another you. As weak as you are, you know, people, I'm going to get there. There are places I'm still going to. People that are dangerous like this, they intentionally set, just the same way a man that wants to sleep will arrange the bed. People set structure for sexual misbehavior. And they start from their wives. They will engineer them in such a way that it doesn't matter what the whole world is saying. The girl can't believe. I don't want to overstretch that. Wrong association. Alright? Good communication corrupts good and bad communication, evil communication corrupts good manners. You don't believe in sexual misbehavior, but you have friends who are doing it. They are messing up. Some of them are even sleeping with their members. And you still believe that this is my friend. That's the wrong association. Or sometimes, when believers now want to damage their lives, they have everything against company of faith. And say, my best friends are even unbelievers. Unbelievers. They understand me better. Doesn't speak in tongue like those people. You know what happened to Samson? He left his people and went to stay in Gaza. That was where he died. There's a reason why God said the solitary in families, the rebellious will always dwell in dry land. Trust your spiritual families, or else you'll be humbled. Trust your spiritual families. Okay. Trust your spiritual family. Trust, believe in where God has set you. Your father's children are your brothers and sisters. If you don't see anyone amongst them that you can relate with, something is wrong with you. Number three, lack of proper discipleship. I didn't use the word lack of discipleship. I used the word lack of proper discipleship. One of the things that gives birth to this, one of the ways this happens is people are given position based on gift, not based on character. We have enthroned babes. Sometimes they are the best preachers. They've not proven anything. I personally have issues with ministers that allow people who are coming suddenly from places And now they want to begin to usurp leadership position. They are aiming the head, they are aiming the top. That's like the devil. You quickly permit them, they are the best at this. You will cry. People who can't start from the bottom should not lead the pack. Okay. Some people have not been properly taught, and there are some that the person who discipled them is a crook, a predator, a liar. I met a boy. He was sleeping with a girl in his fellowship. It was the girl who came to report him. Then my office, everything was in my room. I don't know who gave me one chair that used to roll like that. So I let him sit down on that one. I invited him over to ask him questions. And I was just rolling and smiling. I said, "Do you know so and so and so?" I was expecting remorse. And he just said, "Oh, yeah. He's one of our daughters." So I have a report that you are sleeping with her. He smiled. Say, "Ah, just a few times. God has, I'm telling you, no, I'm not exaggerating. I can't even say it to the level that he said it. I'd rather decrease it than to exaggerate." Said, "By the way, God has forgiven us and we have moved on." So I asked him, "Who is your general overseer?" He mentioned the names. In our conversation, I found that the guy also has 4 different girls. He was sleeping with babies making babies. 4 girls. This one is just, I mean, what your father did, you should do more. There are people who start sincerely with hunger, but have found themselves in cartels. Where in the congregation, they know pastor's girlfriends. They know. It is now no longer a valid institution to arrest decadence. Because the oil is flowing from the head. And destinies are under these guys. Somebody's children, somebody's daughter, somebody's wife. Of discipleship. Some don't have leaders. I'm always afraid, and I'm going to make this very clear, of pastors that we don't know their fathers. How do you have a father you are not proud of? If you have, show us. And that must not affect, I say this with all reverence, the apostolic landscape of Nigeria. There are events threatening to affect it. Because if we know your father, we can trace who you are looking like and who to call if things are going bad. True or not true? But some have fathers that cannot correct them. I'm going to say this open clear. Very clear. You don't have to take it. My own opinion. Like Paul said, I speak as a man. I don't believe that your biological father can successfully be your spiritual father. I don't believe. I have a few people I have warned, but they will not listen. There's nothing I can do. Say, "Pastor, what about your child? Bishop Oyedepo's child, spiritual father. I think one of his sons is submitted under Bishop Abioye. Archbishop Duncan Williams is the spiritual father to Bishop Dagewood Mills. Duncan Williams' son is a son under Dag. Bishop Oyedepo's son in Maryland still travel and fly about to attend conferences where his mentors are ministers. It is a setup. To believe you are now too special to submit. It's a setup. You will find out. A mentor has his place. A father has his place. A mentor can advise. Only a father will mold and instruct. No mentor can stop you from your ministry and say, go and sit down. A father can. Why will I allow my children up by a spiritual father? Because I might be emotional in dealing with them. If I've raised somebody and I've raised the person well, raise my child. I speak as a man, my opinion. Number, what are we? Improper structures around the opposite sex. Orgs, anyhow. Improper structure around the opposite sex. Orgs, chest to chest. Alone in the office, counseling for hours. Skimpy dress, no issue. PA, a woman. Assistant PA, a girl. Deputy PA, another girl. Church size, 20 people. 3 PAs. Receptionist, girl. And all of them have crush on him and he has crush. Let me tell you something. It is a sign of low self-esteem as a minister to think girls are loving you. They are just liking me. Something has destroyed your esteem. Don't overrate yourself. Everybody is liking me. I'm a fine guy. Set boundaries. Many of you have seen me openly. Sometimes make jokes with my ministers who are males. I don't put them under pressure. I found out you are a male. There's been a record of this girl. Okay, nothing is happening. That girl. If your pastor thinks the way you and this girl are close, there should be a relationship. And you are always saying no. Something is wrong with your structure. You call her in the morning. You call her in the afternoon. You call her at night. You check what she has eaten. You request for video call. Okay, what are you doing? And the girl too. She likes it. Maybe he will come. 1 month. 2 months. Anybody who even attempt to rescue her becomes an enemy. No structure. I've seen videos. A pastor was kissing demon out of a girl. One called a girl. I don't know how you have the energy to laugh. Where the energy to laugh is coming from, I don't get it. Does it occur to you that this is the body of Christ? One called a girl, laid the girl down, and laid down upon her nose to nose, mouth to mouth, hand to hand, and members were clapping. They've been manipulated. You know what manipulation is? It takes years. He has engineered them for any practice. As much as when scandals rock certain denominations and they are still standing, sir, we should honestly not envy the structure. It is a structure of destruction. I think a structure is only proper if men are committed, as long as the man is committed to Jesus. Any other thing may look interesting. I think God is not happy about it. It shows that we have raised people for ourselves. not for the kingdom. Because Paul said, be followers of me as I am of Christ. Chest to chest, hand to hand. Pastor is going for a program. The pastor's protocol that will follow him is a girl. And they will book one room. And you know, pastor has to be compassionate. She can't sleep on the floor. Come and sit beside your daddy. Say, ah, papa, papa. Say, forget that. Just lie down. Don't worry. I'll be busy studying. You are here now. You are a girl. Or you are the PA to a man who is a pastor. And he has his wife. You are in a dangerous zone. I think I shared the story of what happened on campus. A girl I had known. In my part one, how God rescued me. I could actually have fallen. Because I was just confused. I've never seen that in my life. I was looking at the girl confused. And somehow God came to my rescue. And the girl left. But she confessed about she had destroyed her pastor's wife's womb. How she has done many things. And we're doing evangelism. When one of us said he wanted to go and evangelize our hostel, and I begged him. The way our structure was then, let girls evangelize girls. Let boys evangelize the boys. The culture of putting girls with skimpy dress outside the church because they are more attractive will not bring people to Christ. It will bring people to them.
Long story cut short, he went there, evangelized the girl. A few months, we didn't see him again in fellowship. Where is Brother Swan? So we can't find him anymore. I went to his house. 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. And I knocked the house. Who is there? I didn't say a word. Who is there? Say a word. I came to the house of my brother. He opened the door. There was some boxers. He was trying to hedge me out. I looked over his shoulders and I saw the same girl. 4 different men had history with this girl. None of them, as I'm talking to you now, is fine. Few weeks back, I saw a comment. I went to search for that guy. That same guy. I went to his Facebook. No, people can get so lost, we are now looking for them. I went to search. I was just checking at his stuff. And I found a comment. That same girl's name. And I checked her profile to see. Happily married. Doing well. Somebody also has ripped something. And that fellow will tell his pastor, I heard God. This girl I'm talking about, if she enters here now, there's nobody here who is dressing and looking holier. Never wears earring. No makeup. Sister. That guy. Imagine where somebody were at the same level then would have been now. I saw him put up something there on his Facebook. He was putting on Facebook that the banana tree in his compound, the banana on top is now ripe. That anybody who cares for that is around that area, Ikire, should send an inbox. Say there's love in sharing. And he meant it. If you don't see that as a descent, then
then there is no telling to the height you two may not get to. That at the point that those that decide together are now taking territories, advertising banana on Facebook. One woman. What does she need to do? Be around him and let him miss the important season of visitation. When that season is over, leave. One girl. My fear sometimes is not that the man didn't recover or that the girl, they didn't break up. But can you get back? Because that oscillation of time that came, sometimes the cycle might take some 13, 14, and that's even fair. Sometimes 30 years. And you know, before another oscillation comes, the oscillation of the moment you were 30 is now coming again when you are 60. So you can join the generation of those who are now 30. Okay. Anybody you see that is a serial sexual offender already have a structure for it. It is no longer going to be a mistake. It is deliberate.
I'm going somewhere. Number five. Errors that lead to sexual scandals. Unfaithfulness with money. I said that in passing. One of the greatest tests, or the litmus test, to test where a man's at is the test of mammon. A man who is not faithful with money cannot be faithful with women. But the journey is gradual. It's a process. Number six, premature enthronement. Premature enthronement. In places where there are no discipleship, now there are apostles, there are bishops, there are pastors. I think that's one thing that is rampant now. I love the apostolic ministry, and I'm also part of that stream. But the attempt of making people apostles in a hurry, what it is going to bet. There are things that are happening now that there are battles for the next generation of church. You know, I shared a story about a guy that I went to minister in their church. He used to be my friend from the moment I was a teenager. Their third year anniversary. We traveled from, I was living in Ife then, but we had to come to Ibadan to take bus that will get us there. You know, to Kaduna. And we got there. I've shared this story several times. We got to, the bus dropped us 12 a.m. So he said we should find bike, and we should have found the bike. And no, was it bike or tricycle? Got us to the junction. The Waec Junction or something. We got there. He saw, we all feel good to see you again. We took some steps. He just said, hey! This woman that sells Amala here has closed at 12 a.m. We've been on the road for over 14 hours. Yay. We got from bike. Took us to the house. He entered and came out of the room and said, I said, what again? He said, I didn't know the last stick of matches was what I used. Sincerely, in my heart, I said, like, seriously? I wanted to ease myself. Please show me the restroom. He entered the room, came out with a black bucket, said, do it here. Where? I
I will use the bush anywhere. Take me. The following morning, we're going to bath. I said, please, show me the restroom where we can bath. He brought the same bucket.
Ah.
This same bucket. Ah. I told one of my sons that was with me, I said, you go and bath first. Anything that is there, you go and bath. He looked at me, he understood. We entered the bedroom. If the water touching the floor touches you, it will change your DNA. Ah! After we heard, he said, I want to use the toilet. I say, oh, talk to me, man of God. He said, ah, it's not the toilet that small like you can use. We'll have to first go and get kerosene. Kero what? Ah. He said they have to mix some chemicals with kerosene to, I say, Jesus. Believe you me, I was there for days, I couldn't use toilet. So for me not to be in pain, I had to stop eating and taking water. We got to the church, no choir, no leaders, no workers. We had to sit down, they were calling people, hey, Sister Al-Avi, Zekazo Yo, Kezofa, Guest Minister Mu, Yadana, Kezoda, hey. People have ailed me for me for a pastor is going to minister in Kaduna. Then they started coming. Every one of them had a title. Apostle this, prophet that, evangelist this. Every member had a title. I said, it didn't even occur to me until I looked at the pulpit, the podium. As I look at the podium, I saw stickers, more than 70. TB Joshua, Johnson Suleiman, Adeboye, Oya Kilome, TD Jakes. Hey. Which assembly are we? Pastor, my heart broke when a church was recruiting thousands of pastors. And he called me that he had closed down his church. And he has now been transferred to one of those churches. These are hirelings. 10,000. I've talked too much. Premature enthronement. Start ministry, you've never served anywhere, they didn't release you in due time, you jumped out, you detected your fathers when they should release you. Okay. Number 7 is like it. Well, it's a bit advanced. Enthronement of a previous sexual offender who has not been properly helped. His fellow fell to sin, sexual sin. He didn't cry out, they caught him. Now he's saying, God is saying, you start a church. And you know that he didn't go through the process that can make you trust him now. Don't pour the oil on him. His sorrows will multiply. Don't lay those hands on him. Don't say, I didn't warn you. Twenty signs that your pastor may be a sexual predator. 20 signs. I don't know if we're going to be able to get through them. But if we are not, I think we should, so that maybe the 20th one will be somebody's deliverance. Number 1. He fantasizes about your body whenever he speaks to you. I like your shape. Your pastor, your mentor, your father likes your shape. Run. He fantasizes about your body. When you were walking. Ah, what I saw. Okay. Run. Number two. He brings up issues of sexual dissatisfaction between his wife and himself. You are the one your father is now telling, your pastor is now telling, that his wife doesn't satisfy you, he satisfies him sexually. They are about to use you for rituals. Sexual ritual. He brings up issues of his sexual dissatisfaction with his wife. With you. You are now the confidant. Sister Pity Pata. Pitying pastor. Pitying papa. Hey, yeah. How do you not do it now? Calls you to odd meetings alone at awkward moment. 1 a.m. He's calling you. I'm outside your gate. 11 o'clock in the evening. Your father is now at your gate wearing 3/4. Round neck shirt. Pick up. I say, now this is not the pastor thing. Let's just gist. And the breeze is blowing. Say, I enjoyed that conversation. And he's married or not even married. Because I need to tell you this. And let me, I think this is one of the most painful statements I'm going to say, and I'll stand up to tell you. I need to tell you this. I think. It is much more difficult for a girl that the head of a ministry likes, and for one reason or the other, they have to go separate ways. The impression of such girl is that it is like God was the one who rejected her. Listen to me. I'm speaking this from pain. As a pastor, before I married my wife, there's been occasion of somebody you think it will work that didn't work. Till date, I pray for them. Send somebody, Lord. Send somebody. Particularly when it was not a case of the fellow doing things that are bad. Don't ask anybody out anyhow. Particularly if you are a ministry head. It will be better for them never to come than for them to be your ex. And young girl, don't fall in love with your father. Married or unmarried, it's a trap. If he comes, and God already spoke, and the proof that it is God who spoke was that he will come. If it is God, he will come. If he comes to your heart, kill it. It's worth the vision. Kill it. Because soon you will no longer be a daughter. How can you cope? Okay. Let's pretend as if we don't know what's going on in the body of Christ. Let's just teach. Number, what are we now? Request for your nudes. Send me your picture. A clearer one. The front side. Which front? Looking up to Jesus now. Do you understand what I'm saying? Request for nudes. Your pastor is not the one requesting for. Okay. Touches you carelessly. You are passing it, mistakenly hit your bum bum. Said it's a mistake. It has happened 3 times in a week now. That's where his hand is going. When you stretch out your hands to shake him, he holds the hand longer and is massaging the hand. And you are still saying, Papa. They are about to papalize somebody. Touches you carelessly. You have even caught him. He has made attempt to kiss you. Say, yeah, it was a mistake. Number six, looks at you in a way that is sexually suggestive. You've caught him once or twice, looking at you and licking his lips. You say, you must be lost in the spirit. looks at you in a way that is sexually suggestive. Number seven, he always asks about your sexual fantasies. What position do you like? Say, I like to be seated in Christ, far above all principalities. Always like to take discussion back to your sexual history. Can we just lift our hands and say, Father, help the body of Christ. Please pray. Why not pray loud and clear? There are people who are in pain and in mess right now. Help your body, Lord. In Jesus' name we are praying. If what I'm teaching here is not piercing your heart, okay. Number what are we? Huh? Looks at you in the, okay, number seven, okay, ask you about your sexual fantasies. Your father, your pastor is asking you, what do you like? What's your this? What's your, how do you like men? Tall, this, wrong. Number nine. Okay, number eight now. Teaches you that there is nothing actually wrong with sleeping with him. Teaches you that there's nothing really wrong with sleeping with him. After all, I'm your father. I'm your pastor. You're only being of service and of help. You're servicing the anointed and the anointed. There's nothing wrong. God loves it. Doesn't matter the scripture, it shows you wrong. Teaches you that there is nothing actually wrong with sleeping with him or helping each other, massaging yourselves. I'm showing you signs that your pastor may be a sexual predator. Because people don't know, that's why they fall, right? Number nine. He has structure of sexual offenders around him as protocols who help him seal his deals. The closest people to him, you know the kind of life they are living. Dangerous boys. They even aborted for your friend. And they are the closest to him, Brother Makanaki, Minister Scorpion. And then you have your papa. You know, they are like the two thieves, right and left. Number 10, you have heard rumors of sexual exploit about him. Every rumor has an outer of truth. You have heard one or two girls whispering that they took advantage of them. He did this. It takes a while for people to say it. If they are saying it, check it. Number 11, you caught him with someone and they both denied it. In fact, they went on to preach without saying anything about it. You went somewhere, you saw him fondling someone, doing some things. They did as if they didn't see you and they kept quiet, so you can be thinking in your heart that maybe it wasn't them. It was them. Number 12, it takes people's wives or fiancés, or ladies in the church out alone. Sit down with them. They takes them on a date. Either married or unmarried. He has not said anything. Takes them on date. Somebody's wife on date with Papa, and the husband too says by his spiritual father, This thing we call followership is not a cult. Loyalty is not a cult. We have not become lambs going to the slaughter. It is not loyalty to watch and say, "Oh, is my father? You are married. He's calling you out on a date. He's married." Number 13. He regularly makes joke about sexual sins. Just crack joke about it. Says things like in the buy mobile. Let's make jokes. It just doesn't look like anything happens. Number 14. This one is a very serious one. This one, for you to see this one, you need to observe. Whenever there is a sexual scandal breaking in the news, what's your pastor's response? It is one thing for people to mind their business and just face their work. But if he has the culture of defending sexual offenders, watch. Something might be fishy. Defends them. He doesn't see anything really wrong. That's the season he starts teaching unnecessarily about loyalty. And now that even if your pastor is touching your breast, just submit. Number 15. He has evident anointing, but no trace of spiritual practices. Anointed, never prays, never fasts. He's always watching seasonal films. Doesn't ever have any consecration. Does not attend any program, does not listen to anybody. You've never seen him listen to a message. You've never seen him praying. But yet the power is there. That's a sign. He avoids prayer meetings, number 16 now, and has no commitment to prayer. A sinful man can't pray and a praying man can't sin. Very simple logic. Doesn't like prayer. Doesn't like to be told to pray. Like to tell to lead prayer. If they talk about 6 hours prayer stretch, he finds a way to dodge. Because the appetite is like a baby tiger is nursing. He knows prayer will sniff it out. And he doesn't want it gone. Number what now? 17. Surrounds himself with ladies without boundaries. Some of them sit on his laps. They take bike together. No boundary. They take bike together. The girls sit in front. He's almost lapping her. The girls sit behind him. She's touching him with the chest once in a while. He says, "Jesus, Jesus." Anyway, Lord. No boundary. Pastor's wife travels, his girls that are coming home to cook, and they will sleep over. During holidays, the wife has gone on summer or for summer holiday. Different girls. Number 18. He comes after you despite knowing your sexual weaknesses. Still prays after you. He knows your sexual weakness. You've told him the things you are battling with. He's seen you as a loose end, comes after you. He's a serial offender. They always go for the weakest. They go for people they believe will enjoy it with them. Number 19. Tells you to delete your chat history with him always. After chatting, please delete it. Your friends must not see it. Please delete it. He also deleted from his wife. Number 20. He tells you secret he has not told his wife. And he lets you know that he has not told his wife. You're about to become a victim. How to avoid sexual scandals. I also have how to get back on track in case you are falling. So everything is complete. Don't worry. How to avoid sexual... Number one, avoid sexual sins. Once the act is on, you can't stop it from blowing out. Stop by it. Avoid sexual sins. Right? Avoid sexual sins. Whatever it is that is done must always come to the open. Avoid sexual sins. 2 Timothy 2:22, Paul speaking to Timothy told him, flee youthful lust. Alright? Flee youthful lust. Alright? Flee youthful lust. Paul also speaking to the Corinthians. Let me show you. I think I shared the story of a guy. A single guy. In fact, let me share this before I share that one. A guy was sharing testimony in church one day. Not here. And he was talking about how that fire almost got his house. And he said he had to wake up. People quickly moved on. I said, wait, you are single, you are expected to be living alone or with brothers. Wake her up. Okay. Of course, the girl he was talking about was also in church. So this guy went to the chemist to buy gold cycle. So he said, guy, I beg, sharp, give me gold cycle. People want to buy this kind of thing, don't waste time. Sharp. Give them money. They gave him, collected the number he wanted to collect. Collected change. Many people were behind him saying, give me this, give me that. He was the choir leader of the church. As he turned back, his pastor's wife was part of those people. He looked at her, looked at the gold cycle he was carrying, that he had already collected change. Looked back at the person selling gold cycle. I said, what is this nonsense? I said, give me this. I said, see what you gave me. There are lies that even demons will say, wonderful. So you mean you can see escape? Wonderful. And we'll call the spirit of lies. Come. There's a discovery here. You have a mentor. I pray for you in the name that is above all names. It's good to be hearing all these things. But you will not become a sexual offender. Amen. Say that amen again loud and clear. Amen. Say it again loud and clear. Amen. 1 Corinthians 3 from verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3 from verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, God shall destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple are ye? Undefile the temple of God. Don't defile God's children. If they are members, keep them as members. If they are daughters, keep them as daughters. Simple. So I didn't warn you. How to avoid sexual scandals. Avoid sexual sin. Once it is going on, it can be covered. Number two, treat young women with purity. Treat women with purity. Treat them with purity. Avoid every appearance of evil. Treat them with purity. It is not pure to lap them. They are not. It's not pure. Treat them with purity. Do you get what I'm saying? Is it clear enough? Number three, have structures for accountability. Have structures for accountability. If you surround yourself with those who can rebuke you, you have dig your own grave. You have leaders, you intentionally selected them because you know they don't have the wit to correct you, or you buy them over with money. I've shared this story with you. This pastor Dotun seated here. At some point, I didn't have money for house rent. He paid the house rent with his own money. Few months down the line, he misbehaved. I sent him out of the house. Who rented the house? Him. Who paid? He paid. When you gave me, as unto God. It will never, ever, ever. I'd rather sleep on the street. I'd rather be homeless than for me to receive things that will sift me of my primary assignment. Because I believe that I should be more loyal to the cause of these people's destiny. Right? Okay. Just so you know, you wake up tomorrow morning and bring a Jeep. I like Highlander in case. Nice one. And pack Highlander there. Color, thank you. Gray. Or black. And you pack Highlander. And say, Papa, this is yours. And you didn't add it. That I consider it a privilege to so. I will rebuke you on top of the Highlander. Let me share another story with you. At some point in my life, Pastor, I was so broke that daily bread became crisis. And I cried to God. Thank you for Mary's you have given me. They enjoy what I'm teaching. But if there's no matter, hunger would have killed me for the next service. Send me matter. One of my spiritual daughters, where is she? Debbie. Man of God, sit down. That's here at the back there. By the way, that hair on her head is made, not weak. You see her? She started sowing seed to my life. Her father gives her, I think, 10,000. I don't know how frequent. Says she'll be sowing 30%. I didn't ask her. She just said so. I checked my account. I saw 35. I didn't see a text message to acknowledge that I saw the. I called her, rebuked her, and told, send me your account number and afford your money back to you. If I'm broke, I am broke with pride. I will never sell what God has called me to do. It doesn't matter what it is. And she began to beg. I said, don't worry, you are pardoned. I'll use it. Be blessed. If she's not a daughter, that's the perfect time to leave. He's an ingrate. A useless father. Is he the one working for the money? He has a sense of entitlement. Is the entitlement for me?
But it's training first.
That's what God called me to do in your life. Even in giving, I have to teach you how to. And God knows, this young man here is ready to go 2 weeks, no food, than to collect something that will not make him sleep. I will never.
I have structures for accountability.
Stop enthroning those you know can't deal with you. I dare you to have leaders that can deal with you if you want to last. Leaders that sees you, that knows you by name, that can tell you to sit down, that can cancel your meeting and tell you you are due for a retreat.
Ah. Number four. Have devoted spiritual practices that helps you against burnout.
You don't want to fall. Have months in the year that it doesn't matter who is calling you, you can't preach. That month is for prayer. Then have consistent retreat culture. If you are burning out, you will fall. Stop ministering with yourself well. The witches in your congregation knows when your battery is down. You know, this generation no longer believes there are witches in church.
There are.
Are devoted. There's nobody you see that grew to the level of being a father in the body of Christ and do not have culture of fasting and prayer. They fast. They pray. Some of them even live a fasted life. Daily. If you are struggling now for spiritual practices, fight for it like you are fighting for your life.
Because actually you are fighting for your life. Number what now?
Let me say this to you. The best of us as ministers will fall if you are not praying. Lust is tricky and easy. You just don't pray for a long time. Whether you are a girl or a boy, very easy. You just notice.
Guys, you know, girls, you know,
that becomes a major distraction. Prayer is not just for intimacy, it's a lifeline. Nobody can survive without a prayer structure. You cannot. If you are struggling with prayer and study, you are up against something that is very deep. Start asking for help. Look for those who are not struggling with it. Let them help you. How do they help you when they are praying? Pray. When they call you for prayer, don't tell them impromptu.
Okay.
Don't burn out. Don't burn out. Don't wait till you're on the floor before you start fasting and retreating. Don't burn out. Fast so you will not fast. Pray so you will not pray. That's a word they used to say when we're growing up. One badura, come back, badura. Don't burn out. Pray till, you know that mighty man of David? They said that he fought to a point that the sword clipped to his hand. Pray till prayer will cleave to your spirit. I can give it. That whenever you are no longer even conscious, the unconscious activity that will now move to consciousness is prayer. If I hang around people and every time there's no moment they are suddenly praying, that thing doesn't come. No moment they just break out from nowhere. It doesn't happen. I suspect you. 24 hours. He doesn't leap from anywhere. Something is wrong. Those little jara Those are the ones that power us up for stretch. Because, listen to me, you can't come from dryness and directly think you can do 6 hours alone. It doesn't happen. You have to be powered. You are being fired up. By the time you open the prayer room, energy. Why? You have been fired.
Okay.
I believe the most principal of all these things I'm talking about is prayer. And avoiding burnout. Ah. You've never woken up in the middle of the night in recent times and wake up with tongues. Sekilaya. Doesn't happen. When you sleep till you wake up.
Stretching at past 8. Number what now? Number 5. Take boundaries seriously. Don't overrate yourself. Take boundaries seriously. Don't overrate yourself. Number 6. Let me warn you. If you are here and you have thrown away conscience, let me warn you. You have not, but you are likely about to. This is for you. Don't intentionally set structures that will help you maintain simple ways. For instance, if you are dealing with masturbation, you don't need a prayer room. That's a bad structure. You will sin inside the prayer room. It will become sin room. Don't set structure where those that they can report you to have been bought. All of them. You know how to bring girls around you and prep them with words. Prepping them. So that the day it will happen, they will just be asking, has this really happened? Okay. Structure. And what I need to understand is that these things are happening in the body of Christ. But number 7. Keep your life as an open book. Don't live a life with so many questions. We don't know who you are dating, self. There are many. Because you are legion. You are a legionnaire. Everybody is confused. Your wife is your wife, but it's like you have another wife. Number 8. If you are married, never keep anything secret from your wife. If you are married, never keep anything secret from your wife. If you are not yet married, we start knowing you are a dangerous man when you start passwording your phone from your fiancé. There is even this WhatsApp people use now. There is no sexual offender I have interviewed that is not using that WhatsApp. They call it GB WhatsApp. I'm talking to you from experience. That WhatsApp has the possibility of allowing you have chambers of contact. True or not true? Never keep anything as a secret from your wife. Don't hide your conversations. Guys, don't keep anything secret from your wife. Start now. Is that okay now?
Don't. The moment you can delete chat for your wife not to see, you are a potential adulterer. No, it starts from there. You delete chat. Ah, she must not see this. But don't forget that there is a high level in this school. The high level is that it gets to a point, now she can see them, but there's nothing. Nobody born her well to do anything. Because you have mastered her and you own her. That's high level. For those that, the only thing that can rescue them is judgment. Don't say I didn't warn you. Nobody who is listening to this message today has any excuse. Number 9. Kill sexual sins from his root. If you can trace it to your father, stop preaching. Pray prayers of deliverance till you are free. If not, you will end up worse than he ended. Because unto whom much is given, much is expected. If he did 60, you may likely not do 40. Because the devil wants to destroy you in a hurry. So your deliverance doesn't come. I'm telling you, if you are here, you are coming from places where you can trace history of sexual offense and misbehavior. Separate yourself and pray away the foundation. Don't love preaching more than you love your deliverance. You say, if I leave the mic now, will they be fine? They will be fine. Leave. Leave now. Leave now. I'm warning you. All of you are seated looking at me like you don't have problems. You can look like that till what have you, whenever you want to. But the sin of a man will always find him out. You've seen people share stories of days they have to fast like they are going to die to dissociate themselves from certain routes. You've been eating from burger to cheeseburger to macaroni and cheese, french fries. Number 10. Honestly submit yourself for disciplinary actions.
Okay.
Any attempt to fight the battle alone is the attempt to fight it for long. Submit yourself. Report yourself. If you are a true Christian, you are not a liar. You are not a rogue. You are not a dangerous wolf to God's sheep. Report yourself. You are sick and you need help. Report yourself. That thing you think I've stopped does not. And be helped. Number 11. Keep relationships for what they are. Keep relationships for what they are. Define every relationship. Everybody in your life must have definition. Friend, keep it as friends. Brother, uncle, pastor, mentor, teacher, father. What? Define it and stay with the definition. All your life. Don't be married and still think of the possibility of another woman. You are asking for two things. Number one, a fall or the death of your wife.
Okay.
How to get back on track? If you have... Okay, before I go into that, let me deal with it. What to do if your husband or fiancé is discovered to be a sexual predator? Number one, report him. reporting. One of my sons corrected him. He's a changed boy now. At any level, I don't stop praying for my people. At any level. I corrected him. Slammed the door and walked out. I went to his fiance. A girl who knew that you were staying with your spiritual father. Day one, I didn't see a call. I didn't see a message. Day two, no call, no message. Day three, no call, no message. A week. I didn't send for him. I sent for the girl. When I sent for the girl, he came with her. So I didn't call you, I called your fiancé. He said she was scared to come. The same spiritual father who is the lovely daddy is not the one you are scared of. Because I'm a terror. He said, not actually. Okay, sit down. And I told her, I called you for a reason. I want to share a story with you. There are two kind of girls in the Bible. The story of one girl. One of the husband's old-time friend that has helped the husband sent a message to him that now me too I'm in trouble. Come and help me because I know you have. And he sent a message back to that person and said, do I even know you? And insulted him and all that. He said, but the wife went behind, gathered victuals, gathered wine, gathered bread, leading them on a donkey and rode by herself to give it to that friend. You see, there's another woman. The husband was crying because of a land that did not belong to him. And she agreed with him and said, we can kill him. And she killed him. One, dog licked her blood. The other one, the husband still died because a fool will always die early. And God said to her, what kind are you? If you are angry with your father for rebuking your husband, you are the first kind. Oju e ma ja, when that same person becomes a problem, you can't do. How do I put that in English? Some things are just weighty as they are. You will learn your lessons. They are dealing with your fiancé. Regiment the fellow. But you are the one angry. Dealing with your fiancé. You are the one angry. What does he even think he is? Who does he think he is? Is it because we respect him? Alright. Report him. Number two, pray for him. Put him in prayers. If there's anyone that is sick, let them go to the elders. Say first, let them pray. Pray for him. He needs prayer. His soul needs to be touched. Pray on your knees. Number three, if he doesn't cooperate with the regiment and you are not married, flee. Flee now. Flee. If you are married, there's nothing you can do except I have some reservations about the word. There's nothing you can do because but let's leave that. Shall pray. But reporting and dissociate yourself from the act. Be partners but not in crime. Partners in crime will always die early, like Ananias and Sapphira. If girls are reporting to you, or you are getting reports that your husband, your fiance, defiled someone, don't defend him. Ask questions. Then confront. Marriage is not a call to submit your brain. It's not a call. Submit your brain. If you take your heart on a journey without your head, accidents will always happen. But for those of you who are single, you can still take precaution. Because once you are in it, Oju to Remi, Oju Otimi, I need to journey. I will leave that in Yoruba. So you can always ask somebody how to get back on track if you have fallen into sexual sins before as a pastor. You have fallen into sexual sin. You are messing up with somebody nobody knows. Number one, confess. You are really serious about getting back, or you just want to deceive us. Confess. You cried, you say you have cried, but you can't confess. You are a liar. If you are serious, confess. That confession is a sign that you value God above ministry. That confession is a sign that ministry to you has not become a vocation, where you are just using God for salary or for fame, as the case may be. Confess. Number two, submit yourself to authorities for correction. Submit yourself to authorities for correction. And don't dictate how they should correct you. Don't tell them the kind of correction you don't want. Submit yourself. Number three now, right? Leave the pulpit and get better. Leave. Stop preaching. Leave the pulpit. Get better. Never return to the pulpit until you are approved. And that approval is not just from God alone. Men that God has placed as the constituted authority over you must bear witness to you. Whatever heaven has ordained, the earth must confirm. Acts 13:1. Certain apostles and prophets gathered themselves together to pray and they ministered unto the Lord. And the Holy Ghost spoke through them. Said, separate unto you Barnabas and Saul for the work we are to have called them. Saul had been called before that time. And Paul has been called before that time. But he couldn't go until there is a witness. You are not the one to determine when you are fine. It is your leaders who know when you are fine. And listen to me. Usually, people are not fine until they are no longer in a hurry to hold the microphone. Usually. Number four, retrace your step. Check how you got there and repent from all the steps you took that brought you there. Last point. What to do if your pastor is trying to sexually prey on you? So you are a lady, you have a pastor, you have a leader, a mentor, a brother that you respect, a discipler, who is trying to sexually prey on you. Number one, believe it. If you feel so, it is so. Believe it. Don't say, I can't believe what I'm seeing or hearing. Believe it now, before you become a victim. Believe it. Detect it early, before it matures. Because you might be gone in the trap. You get what I'm saying? Listen to me. Look up. Look up. This is not a women meeting, but let me spend 5 minutes dealing with you. Ladies, stop writing. I want to deal with you. Stop writing. Look at me. Hey. the way many girls are living their lives, God in heaven knows they are virtuous girls, but he knows he must never trust them with any of his sons. Because if they are falling, in their falling state, they are anything goes. They are not, they don't have strong feet. They are not emotionally secure. They are not even secure. Low self-esteem will not make them speak out. They feel privileged. That I'm privileged to be married to you. I'm privileged. I'm privileged. They see the man as a god. And they, a beggar. Who God favored to marry this kind. But what did the Bible say? That he that finds a wife has found a good thing. And obtained what? Favor. Meanwhile, he's the one who ought to be favored. But your low self-esteem will not allow you to see it. Many girls in church should not find husband now. Until God matures their esteem. Whoever comes to their life is entering highway to the grave. He must not come now. Must not come now. Many of them, the moment they say I love you, they don't have sense anymore. And I mean that word, they don't have sense anymore. All the senses are dead. They turn to, you know what they call dodoyo? Anywhere you turn. Anywhere you turn. And God is saying, the reason we brought you together is so you can be heaven's last lifeline. That when you no longer listen to God and man, he will listen to one who has become one with him. Huh? But the girl is helplessly in love. Not bringing anything to the table. He's not intelligent enough to withstand the ego of the man and say, I'm your wife. You have to listen to what I'm saying. I honor you, I respect you, but not in this kind. We have found you culpable of this offense. And follow it to your fish father's office and you are confessing to him. And God will stand up in heaven and clap. And say, this is the kind that if a man finds. Every stubborn man needs a stubborn wife. That can stand. Submission is not an always commitment. It is submitted as long as the head is submitted to Christ. Don't marry like a foolish virgin. Say you're a virgin. It's not enough. Have sense. Have sense. And you have turned to a witch. Every time you bring it to the altar, you married me as a virgin. Is that the only thing you brought? Huh? You drop out of school when you fell in love with him. You say, he married me as a virgin. Go there, buy me a virgin. Oh, yeah, yeah. Wake up. Feel pain. And pick. Get more certifications. Get more professional courses done. Keep upgrading yourself. So you don't feel somebody has done you a favor. Have your own money. Think about business. Be industrious. You say, Proverbs 31 woman. Proverbs 31 woman gang. Did you see what the Bible said about her? Her hands are busy on the spindle. Her husband is praised at the gate because of her. She's not asking for money for bra. Huh? She's also working. She's the kind of woman that the man can say, let me see 5 million there. You know, it is better when you have your own. And then you ask. We can say that you are just, because husband money is sweet. And I'm speaking from experience. My wife, she likes husband's money. But do you know that he commands more respect when the man comes into the house sometimes and sees some project done and he says, who had done this? I say, I did it. You. So you think that because you are dressing this holy, God in heaven can now toss you one of his sons. That's the qualification. No man has ever come close to me. Listen to me. There are girls who have track record of never being in a relationship before. And they enter, you just go that. The reason why this one has never been before is not because this one is... This one doesn't have sense. Nothing. Just there. Anything you say, my husband, my Lord. Let me leave it there. It's a painful decision to leave it there. But for another day, let me leave it there. So, if your pastor is sexually praying on you, is that not where I am? What to do, right? Believe it. Don't say, I don't believe my eyes. He sent you a text. Don't say, I don't believe you are the one who sent that text. Call me so I can hear your, hey, whoa, he did. It is difficult for somebody to hold a pastor's phone and send text with it. If it comes from the lie, he did. Because you keep needing more proof to believe it, and each of those proof you are getting deeper. Believe it on time. You get what I'm saying? Know when a conversation is going beyond handshake. No, you know, why can't you know where conversations are driving to? You are saying, I was so confused. I was so lost, I couldn't believe. So somebody is bringing knife to stab you, you can't believe. Say, I can't believe. I just can't believe. You'll soon believe it. Your pastor trying to do this, run, leave the church. Okay, how do you want to cope with such a man still dishing words for you? Leave. People who are professionals in this know how to get you. So leave. Run, fly away. Run. Flee. Your legs should be touching your head. Run. Okay. If you are submitted under him as a daughter, break it. No father will have sense sleep with his daughter. Pastor Muyiwari was trying to quote one of the statements in Things Fall Apart about Okonkwo. So that is your son. Don't have a hand in his death. You see, he came from now. Don't have a hand in his death. All these papa daughter thing, it has gone real. Okay. Number three, there is a belief system you need in your heart because this will help you do number four. If your pastor is making sexual advances towards you, it doesn't matter what he says, believe you are not the first person. It doesn't matter what the person is saying, a disciple, a spiritual leader, whatever it is, anything, he is making sexual advances, believe you are not the first person. So when that belief system is there, then it helps you know that this is not a weakness, but this is wickedness. So that you can now do number four, which is to report to leaders you think are trusted and have authority over him. If you fall into the hands of people who are not even trusted, that he is doing times two, they are doing times 100. Run away from that clan, that lineage. That's a dirty lineage. Save your life first before anything. Now, as we wrap up this teaching, I have a scripture to show you. Alright? About sexual sin. Let me start from Proverbs 7. If you've seen me teach in this area, you know I like to show you these scriptures. Proverbs chapter number 7. Proverbs. Are you there? You know the story of that boy? That your village boy. We are past time. I need to rush. Alright? So a woman was trying to seduce a guy. So I'm just going to jump quickly and then go to verse 18 quickly. Proverbs 7 from verse 18. Quickly. All right. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us release ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He's gone a long journey. Yes. He had taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the appointed. Yes. With a much fierce speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. But maybe another day when I have time, I'm going to show you how to handle seductresses. You don't believe people can seduce you? No, we'll teach about it. There are people who seduce people and make them fall and say, hey, we are falling. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter or as a fool to the correction of stocks, till a dart strike through his liver as a bird is snared to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart decline to her ways, nor go astray in her path. For she has cast down many wounded. Many strong men have been slain by her. Listen to me. And that's one of the prayers I asked you to pray some times ago, that you pray for yourself as a girl. I will not become the land that swallows mighty men. I will not. Look at it now. She has cast down many wounded. Many strong men have been slain by her. Yeah. Is that all? I don't think so. Is that all? That's where it ends. Verse 27. A house is the way to hell, going down the chambers of death. Yes. Okay. Now give me Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. Verse. Okay, let's read 1 and 2. Now, we are going to read this in Message, in King James, then in Amplified and Message. The words of King Lamuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. 2. Quickly, 2. What, my son, and what, the son of my womb, and what, son of my vows? 3. Give not your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroy kings. Go back to verse 3. Give me verse 3 and Amplify the Message. Quickly. Give not your strength to loose women. No, there are loose women. They sit down anyhow. They open their labs. They don't know what they are doing and all that. Just loose. Loose. Careless. Careless with words. Careless with visitation. They are not also thinking. Somebody is calling them anyhow. Saying to do video call. They send this. They are not thinking. They are just doing it. Loose. Loose. Loose women. Women of easy virtue. And they can be in church. Know your ways to those and woo that which ruin and destroy kings. Give me this in Message. It should shock you what Message said. Don't dissipate your virility on fortune hunting women. Those who have eyes for those who can rise. And they have record. They know how to get you down. Fortune hunting with promiscuous women who shipwreck leaders. This matter is a prayer matter. He's already looking sweet. It's like God is announcing you. The devil is saying, I know where to get him. And you are praying. Ah, Olua, minute. Ayikaba. Ayikendikoba. Lemiaka. Ah, I will not become an instrument of shame and scorn. Ah, let me finish well. Ah, it's a matter of prayer. Don't wait till it start happening. Lekegege. As a woman, you are praying, I will not become the land that swallows kings. I'm a king maker, not a king killer. Amen. Hear me. I heard something in my spirit and I need to balance it. In the heart of every girl that a man of God fell with is the belief system that it was their fault. It's a lie. It's a lie. Many of these folks have track record of consistency with this. So most of those girls wallow in shame and say, I caused it. Because they think they are the first. They think they are the first. That this man was doing fine until I came. And many of them start hating their beauty. Is it because I look fine? Is it because that's the thought that goes on in their mind? Hey, man, can you pray? Is this how you pray? I want to give you 2 minutes to pray. Dangerous prayers. Soak the future in it. And tell God to help you.
This manifests himself in me. Whatever doesn't show your ways, that is still reflected in me. Take it away, oh. Take it away. Take it away, oh. Take it away. Kalabaka yatikabalaka Shakala Hati Akila Bravita Zaka titi. That is manifesting self in me. Whatever doesn't show your grace, that is still reflecting in me. Take it away, oh. Take it away. Take it away, oh. Take it away. Zinamaka yeke telemaka. Zinima yeka telemokoti nai. Zigide bobo kombrokine telemaka. Zinamaye kedemoko Freddy Shadabai. Leka balakai da balakai da manakai de mokubai. Zele makaba baba baba kaya da baba baba baye tilibai. Zakaba baba 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 yakira. Aida kubala kilabatisha.
In Jesus. Mighty name we are praying. Eh? Because of we have been taught discipline and I have to stay with time, I will have to stop here. So you can go, man. Pray. But let me read the scripture. We'll just read it. And then you too, you'll see it for yourself. The message is already there. How do we do it? I wish we can read that scripture in message. Let's read it in message. Proverbs 5. Let's read from verse 1 in message. I think it will, you'll be able to see it well. Dear friend, pay close attention to this. My wisdom, listen very closely to the way I see it. Then you will acquire a taste for good sense. What I tell you will keep you out of trouble. The lips of a seductive woman are, oh, so sweet. Her soft words are, oh, so smooth. But it won't be long before she is gravel in your mouth, a pain in your gut, a wound in your heart. Yes. She's dancing down the most part to death. She's headed straight for hell and taking you with her. She hasn't a clue about real life, about who she is or where she's going. So my friend, listen closely. Don't treat my words casually. Keep your distance from such a woman. Absolutely stay out of her neighborhood. You don't want to squander your wonderful life, to waste your precious life among the hard-hearted. Why should you allow strangers to take advantage of you? Why be exploited by those who care nothing for you? You don't want to end your life full of regret. Nothing but sin and bones. saying, oh, why didn't I do what they told me? Why did I reject a disciplined life? Why didn't I listen to my mentors or take my teachers seriously? My life is ruined. I haven't one blessed thing to show for my life. Do you know the saying, drink from your own rain barrel, draw water out of your own spring fed well? It is true. Otherwise, you may one day come home and find your barrel empty and your well polluted. We can go on and on and on. Look at it. Your spring water is for you and you only, not to be passed around among strangers. Bless your fresh flowing fountain. Enjoy the wife you married as a young man. You know, the worst individual under this message now is the fellow who is suffering but yet pushing the responsibility of others and say, my own is different. That's the person that... Lift your hands. Tell God, help me. Help me. If you have people who have track record of ending badly, pray, I don't want to end up like them. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. In Jesus' name we are praying. If there's anyone here under a siege that the devil is hunting after you to make a mess of the call of God upon your life, it's been so much heavy battle, you can't tell why. God has called a night like this for you. I decree that the siege be broken. If it is a generational thing, I decree that your case will be different. I speak empowerment over you. You will not fall victim. Receive grace to stand and not to disgrace your own generation. You will not live a life of regret. Be blessed. It is done. In Jesus' mighty name. Tomorrow, by the grace of God, by the grace of God, Bishop Adelakun will be here. Alright, so get set. It's going to be an amazing. That's the final session. Then by Sunday, during Sunday service, we're going to have the graduation program, right, in collaboration with the service. Alright?
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, FLAME. To partner with FLAME, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.